Anthony Quirk is with Milford Asset Management, and the question is, how's your KiwiSaver fund performing? Should you switch to the award-winning team at Milford? Milford Funds Limited offers the Milford KiwiSaver plan to investors who understand the importance of strong performance over a long period of time, as well as frequent and timely communications on how your investment is going. So don't let an underperforming fund affect your retirement. For more information or a copy of Milford's investment statement and transfer form, you can go to www.milfordkiwisaver.co.nz. MilfordKiwiSaver.co.nz. Anthony Quirk is with me. Good to talk to you again, Anthony.
Yeah, evening, Larry.
All right, let's talk about, I guess, retirement policies and the election and that sort of thing. So the Labor Party, and I think you're right in this, I think they should be applauded for bringing up this policy of extending the age of eligibility. My issue with that is actually it doesn't come soon enough.
Yeah, that's right. In some ways, it's a gutsy call, but it's sort of almost half pregnant, isn't it? They've raised the issue, which is the right thing to do. But you could argue it should actually be even brought in even more quickly than they've put out on the table. But to be fair to them, National have really stepped away from the issue. So at least Labor have raised the issue, and I think they've got a bit of credibility in the savings industry from that.
Yeah, I mean, this has been raised often in the past, particularly from the Retirement Commission. I don't think there seems to be no doubt about it. I was reading Brian's article in the Herald the other day, I think out at 2055 or whatever, not that I'll need to worry about. It's about $40 billion in superannuation if it continues the way it is. At the moment, it's about $8.9 billion, I think.
That's right, and it's not just the superannuation, it's the health, all the health care that it will cover as well. So the government will have a lot of obligations to meet, both in terms of superannuation and in health. And they've actually got, with KiwiSaver, they've got a potential to bridge the gap as well, because in Labor's policy, which again makes sense, that the KiwiSaver will kick in at 65 still under their policy, but National Super would only come in at 67. So you could actually bridge the gap a bit with KiwiSaver savings between that 65 to 67 age. So there's going to have to be a reliance on the individual saving for themselves and KiwiSavers about that, but to also have to then tie that in with the increase in the compulsory age as well.
Yeah. The thing that nobody seems to want to talk about, including Mr. Gough, is means testing of the pension, which happens everywhere else in the world where there's a compulsory scheme.
Yeah, that's another hot potato, and the fact that the NZ Super is universal has some advantages. We all know the problem with means testing is that people seem to go to extreme lengths to try and avoid the means test, and that's one of the issues. So if you make it universal, at least you take that out of the picture, but then it becomes, can you afford to have it to be universal? And you clearly can't have it universal and 65. I guess Labor's saying that at least get to 67, at least it's more affordable than 65.
What we need, don't you think, Anthony, is a cross-party sort of deal here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing that's come out of all this. I think it's great that savings has been talked about and debated as part of this election, much more than previous times, but it has become a political football. You have got the sense there's a lot of politics involved on both sides, and of course the Greens as well, and really it does cry out for some certainty for investors and savers, and that can be through an accord like we saw back in the early 90s, which actually took it off the table, and then they made the right decisions. They raised it from 60 to 65. And really did the right thing for the country and tried not to make it a political contest, because the problem is, of course, you'll probably get National in this time, and that's fine, and people know where they stand, but let's say Labor gets in next time and they change it, and then let's say National gets in the time after that.
That's right.
And it's just back and forth, and the poor investors and savers really don't know where they stand with their long-term savings.
I agree. What do you think of the Greens' policy? They want to act as the seventh default provider, essentially.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think there's some practical difficulties there. NZ Super Fund is very growth oriented because it's got it's investing for a 25-year time frame, and most of the default providers are very conservative. So I'm not sure what the Greens are saying there, whether they're going to convert people to be more growth oriented or whether they're going to make NZ Super change its spots a bit and provide a conservative fund. The other thing that's interesting with the Greens is that they're talking about maybe NZ Super being the sole provider, and I know that Michael Cullen and Peter Harris, who was involved in getting the scheme together at the start, were very concerned that they didn't want to give a sense that the government was going to get their hands on the money. And if NZSuper is the only, the super fund is the only manager. There's just a hint. I'm not saying the parties, the current parties would do this, but there's just a hint that you could get some influence at the government level on the KiwiSaver savings through the super fund in the future. And that's something they were very keen to avoid when they set up the scheme back in 2007.
Anthony, thank you. Good to talk to you again. Thank you so much. Cheers. That is Anthony Quirk, Milford Asset Management, www.milfordkiwisaver.co.nz.